Well, we continue tonight where Justin left off last week with us. He did a great job of getting us started with this book by Donald Whitney, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. Oh, there you go. Look, Steve, he's on it. So we did our intro to that last week where basically we just discussed what spiritual disciplines were, why we do them, and then as we move forward and work our way through the book, we'll discuss different spiritual disciplines, okay? So to kind of get us, well, before that, I'll tell a story of myself real quick. Is we were sitting there last week, you know, I stood over there where Teresa and Alan, somewhere in that area, and I looked back and I saw Jimmy had his own book. And I was like, man, Jimmy's very prepared. I was like, I was impressed that Jimmy had really, I was like, man, he wants some of this. And Jimmy's like, Michael, you have it too. And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, we did this book 6 years ago in the Deacons with Matt. I was like, oh man, I totally forgot about that. So apparently I have read this book and I totally had forgotten I'd read this book. So A plus for Jimmy, F for me, because I was like, I don't remember reading this book at all, but apparently I did. So, I guess that was enough for Justin to ask me to do this. So we're going to talk about spiritual disciplines tonight. And tonight in particular, because you guys know me, we're not going to make it very far because you know how I am. The primary discussion tonight is going to be like why we should read our Bible is the cliff notes. Why do we read our Bible? Why should we read our Bible? But to kind of get us going and thinking again, what did we learn last week about spiritual disciplines? What is a spiritual discipline? And anytime I ask a question, I am never looking for rarely am I looking for a correct answer. I'm just looking to stimulate conversation. And if somebody says something too crazy, we'll correct it, but odds are you won't. What's a spiritual discipline? And I also have no problem calling on people forward. What's a spiritual discipline? Oh, yes, that is, yes, very good. That was the follow-up question to that. What is the purpose of spiritual discipline? Is to be more godlike. Right? So through for disciplining ourselves through different spiritual matters, we become more godlike. We call that the fancy word in church. We call that sanctification. That's what we're talking about here. And so, yes, that's the purpose of it. What are some? We talked about some last week. You're just, we're going to talk about tonight. Absolutely. That's what we're talking about tonight. I think the chapter, if you're playing along at home, is called, what's it called? Bible intake. There's actually two parts to this. You guys know there's no way we're making it to part two. Probably we'll make it through part one. But this, you know, the author and I would definitely agree with that, is that, you know, biblical intake is so important, it probably needs more than two chapters. But he gives it two chapters at least to talk about that. All right? What are some others? Just kind of get us thinking and talking. Church attendance. We will definitely talk about that one tonight also. We'll talk about hearing the word and how important that is. What else? Okay, and I do, you know, Doug, I totally forgot that we'd read this book, and then when I got to flipping through it, I do remember us studying it, because I remember the one part when we got to fasting, Doug was like, I'm trying to be more Christ-like, but I don't know about this fasting thing right now, I'm telling you right now, I do remember that we were studying that, and of course, Doug said that in jest, he was joking when he said that, but I did remember that, I was like, yeah, we definitely did this book, I remember this, it wasn't in jest, Doug, it was serious, okay, I was trying to paint you in a positive light there, Doug. So, you know, fasting is one. Prayer, that's always a good answer. Always a good Sunday school answer is prayer. Journaling. And there's just a lot. And and every list is going to be different who you talk to, right? Every list is going to be different because, you know, it's not, you know, we're not giving everything is laid out in the Bible what a spiritual discipline is. We're just going to work through them and discuss them. And so tonight, biblical intake. Basically, the purpose of to become more godly through reading your Bible and having your Bible read to you. So real quick, who in here does, and you know, no one's trying to get shamed here, because at the end of this, I'm going to tell you a story here in a second that's probably going to make everyone feel a little bit convicted about their Bible reading, okay? So who in here reads their Bible daily? Okay, a lot. Right? So the follow-up question to that is why? Why do you do that? Anyone who stuck their hand up or anyone who didn't stick their hand up, why do we read our Bible daily? Okay? Okay? How does, not just for Irvin, for anybody, it's a great answer, Irv, how does reading your Bible help you know the Lord more? Not just for Irv. Anyone can answer this. Anyone can piggyback on back of it. Or you can answer it if you want to, Irv. Okay. Absolutely. Primarily, yeah, that's a great point, Steve. Primarily, this is how God speaks to you now in this day and age, is through his word. And also, and hopefully as we read, it's one of the things I try to pray in Sunday school class, is that the Holy Spirit will come alongside and help you understand the gospel, and help you understand, not just the gospel, help you understand the Bible in general, to educate you and learn more about it, because that is how God speaks to you. You know, another thing, and this gets a little tricky, you know, one of the main purposes of the Bible is to help correct behavior. Because, and I know that's kind of a cop-out, they're like, well, everyone knows right from wrong. There's a lot of things that I've learned from being a Christian that I didn't know was wrong. That a lot of my friends and peers told me that was okay. And then I read it in Scripture and I'm like, no, Christ says that is not okay. So the Bible is good for correction. That's one of its main purposes. And we should be thankful for that. And so if we're never intaking God's word and never understanding this, how do we learn to know God better? How do we learn what's bad behavior and that can be corrected? So it's very positive and important to read your Bible. All right? Who can think of a good example from Scripture of someone who read their Bible? This is kind of a trick question, right? Absolutely, yes. That's not what I was thinking, but that is a great answer. I knew Miss Carolyn would have a great answer. Very good. Yes, that's what I was thinking of. And so a lot of times I'll use that example about Christ is because a lot of people are like, man, I can't read the Old Testament. I just can't do it, right? They start off with Genesis and they're like, oh, Genesis is not bad. And then they get to Exodus, like, oh, still not bad. And then they hit Leviticus, man. And then it gets on. And then Numbers rolls in right behind it, and they're like, oh, my gosh. And then Deuteronomy just, boom, that's it. And they just shut down at that point, right? And so one of the things that helps me through that is that when Christ, you know, gave sermons and spoke to crowds, what did he preach from? He preached from the Old Testament. Now, the flip side of that answer is like, well, that's all they had. I was like, yeah, that's true. That is all they had. But it was important enough to him to preach from it. It's important for us to read it. And so that's just a little plug to, and we'll talk about it if we get to it later tonight. You know, there's a blue million different types of reading plans to read your Bible. You know, and one of the ones that I personally like is like, read a chapter in the Old Testament, read a chapter in the New Testament. Or however, it doesn't have to be a chapter. Read however many chapters you want to do. But mix it back and forth, right? Get it in there. The Old Testament is important also. All right? So this chapter starts off, and this guy, he was a missionary, and I believe he's in Africa here when he's telling this. And he goes to a church, and they don't have a single Bible in the entire church. They actually, the only Bible they have is every now and then a missionary who comes, and he says the town, I can't pronounce it, he brings a church. And the church is very undisciplined. The churches, they're just being very mean to one another. They're stealing from one another. They're fighting amongst each other in church. And the guy basically points out the point. He says, the reason this is happening is that they supposedly understand what God and Christ, but they don't have God's word to read to let it sink into their heart. And so what him and a group of people do is they scrape together their money they have, and they buy Bibles for that entire church, completely change the way that church interacts with one another. And all they simply added was Bibles for people to read, and so God's word could affect their heart, right? And so it was super important. You know, the line he had in it, and I was reading it, and Melissa was like, what are you laughing at? And the line he has in there is like, this church, like it was started by Corinthian missionaries. So I was like, oh, that's pretty funny, man. That's a good joke. You know, because if you read your book of Corinthians, you realize that church had a lot of problems. And so it's just so important of why God's word needs to be impressed upon our heart. And so the intake of God's word is just vital. So there's a couple ways. I didn't even write it down how many there are. The first one is the way we hear that is or understand God's word better is that we hear God's word. So for us, what is the primary way we hear God's word? Church. Okay. Yeah. Every answer I just heard was right. Sunday school, corporate worship Sunday morning, you know, study on Wednesday nights like this, you know, and so hearing God's word is vitally important. And then, you know, this is just a question, you know, we'll just throw it out there to see what people think. Who in here, I know everyone's going to want to put their hand up because you're going to think this is the right answer, but you don't have to if you don't want to. Who in here enjoys hearing sermons? Mm-hmm. Yeah, some. I mean, yeah, I see some of you are kind of like, yeah, right? So, I mean, what are some other places besides church, because church is the right answer, Miss Carolyn, where are some other places we can also hear God's word professed to us? Heard it on TV? Absolutely. Very good. What do you say, Ford? Small group. Okay, yeah, I wasn't thinking that, but yeah, small groups. What else? In this day of technology, I mean, you can hear radio. I mean, there is lots and lots of ways to hear God's word professed. Okay? And so we'll dial it back a little bit, and I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about this. Has anyone ever heard someone say, and Justin touched on this last week, I can be a Christian anywhere. I don't need to come to church. Which I think it's a good discussion to have with somebody, because the first part of that is like, you can be a Christian. But when it comes to having behaviors and your heart modified and changed by God, the way you hear it is at church, is primarily where you hear it. And so church attendance is very important. Now, a lot of this, you know, this is the kind of the whole adage of, a lot of this is like preaching to the choir, right? Because you're here on Wednesday night. You know, you're like, well, that message would be great for a lot of people that maybe not here. So I get that we're kind of preaching to the choir here, but, you know, there is a really important reason to come to church, right? It's not just for the social aspect, which is good and important, but there's a very important reason to come to church. You know, and one of the big ones is to hear God's word proclaimed. Now, I would advocate and tell you that Sunday morning, 30, 40, maybe 50 minutes with Brother Tim. I don't know. That's a joke. You know, that is not enough. That is not enough of hearing God's word proclaimed to you in that 30 minutes on a Sunday morning, right? And so there's lots of other ways, lots of other avenues, a lot of other technology to get that. One of the things that, and Steve, if you can pull this up, would be great, is Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And so there's tons of scripture we could look at that talks about why it's so important to hear God's word. So it says this, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Okay? So we see right here, it is very important to hear God's word. So besides what I've said and kind of ran my mouth probably too much, what are some other advantages to having God's word proclaimed to you orally and hearing it just through your ears? What are some advantages? Oh. Yes. Absolutely. So many times, depending on what season or what's going on in your life, a set of scripture can mean something different to you. And that's why the Bible is such an amazing book, is the fact that it has that ability. Yeah, that's a great answer, Jamie. Thank you. What are some other advantages to hearing God's word? And we'll get on here in a minute, talk about reading it and all that. But why is it also important to hear God's word? Okay. Absolutely. We talked about that earlier, like for correction. Okay. Go ahead, Miss Carolyn. Absolutely, absolutely. And so a lot of us learn different ways. Now, I am a huge fan of audiobooks. I just paid for a subscription that I listen to them all the time. And, you know, I've read some other authors, secular authors, so, you know, I'm not saying this is a biblical statement, but their opinion is that the truest way to have something ready to have a book is to have someone read it to you. You know, because the person can put, you know, they can kind of give you their mood, you know, you can listen to it read to you, and then, I don't know, some of you may disagree with that, but it's very freeing, because when I read a book and pick it up and read it, you know, there's more effort into that than just hearing. Hearing is almost passive, right? Whereas reading is very active. You know, you're looking at the words. Unfortunately, hearing doesn't really help your vocabulary or your spelling at all, because you're just hearing them. But reading definitely helps those other things. But hearing allows you to almost really soak it in a little bit easier. You know, I tell a story all the time. Very new in my sanctification process, somebody got me the book of the Bible on CD. Now, this is when you had CDs, right? This is not modern. So we had CDs you actually put in there and took CDs out. And I was driving a long trip, and I was like, I'm going to listen to the New Testament. I'm going to listen to the whole New Testament. I'll do this. And I put the book of Matthew in. And so if you're familiar with the book of Matthew, the first whole chapter is just names. And I was already sleepy, and I was like, I woke up and I had two tires in the ditch. I was like, this Bible's trying to kill me. I got to take it out. So, I tell the joke sometimes. I was like, the Bible almost killed me one day. And it is true. It almost caused me to have a wreck. But it was just because it was so enjoyable. You know, I really enjoy, like, in our Sunday school class, when we, I don't know how everyone does it, but in our class, we go around and we have people read sets and groups of scripture. I don't read it all. They read it too. I really enjoy having scripture read to me. I really enjoy hearing it. You know, not just because these people are my friends and I enjoy spending time with them. I enjoy hearing them read it, you know. And so that's one of the reasons why this is so important. Anybody got anything else? We'll also go to 1 Timothy 4:13, Steve, if you don't mind. And this is Paul talking. We'll see what he says about this. But anybody have anything else of why hearing the word, why you think that would be so vital?
Like study groups and Sunday school, you get all those different looks.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like solving a problem. Yes, I can solve a problem by myself.
Right.
But I can come up with maybe a better solution to a problem if I have a lot of people working for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
You get to hear how everyone looks for something.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear something that maybe you never thought of.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a great point. And, you know, another thing, and I don't want to be negative before we even get to the reading part of this, but, you know, sometimes reading can become tiring, whereas listening is a lot easier. You know, it's a lot easier just to hear it, all right? So 1 Timothy 4:13 says this, this is Paul talking to Timothy. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. So we see right here, the public reading of Scripture. And so, I mean, there's lots and lots of examples in Scripture where they put a stamp of approval on why it's important to have God's Word read to you and to hear it, you know, auditory, you know, to hear that. So it's very, very important. We move on, probably to the one, when you heard me mention this is probably the one you think about Bible intake. This is the one that's probably most obvious to all of us, and this is reading the Bible. So this will be the easiest question I ask tonight. They're all easy, right? They're all easy questions. Why is it important to read your Bible? We've kind of already discussed it a little bit, but we'll talk about it again. Why is it important to read your Bible? Absolutely. That's a great answer. So you know and you can understand, and we've talked about it a lot already, but to understand what God wants for you in your life and to understand who God is. Because if you're truly going to worship God, don't you think you need to understand Him? Absolutely. How do you understand God? By reading His Word. Okay? So I wanted to read some stats. We're not going to ask this question because we could just guess all night. So this was a poll of Americans. We'll get to Christians here in a second, but this is Americans. 11% of Americans read the Bible every day. So that's just total population, 11%. And so we kind of hear that, and we're like, oh, well, that's secular people. You know, let's talk about Christians. So they follow that up. born-again Christians, so that's us. 18% of born-again Christians admitted to reading their Bible daily. So less than 2 out of 10 would be 20%. So not even 2 out of 10 people admit to reading their Bible daily that are Christians. So before we go much further, let's kind of discuss this for a second. What are some of the dangers in this? And maybe you guys don't think it's dangerous. I think it's extremely dangerous. These numbers are scary. But why is it dangerous that less than 2 out of 10 people are reading their Bible that claim to be born-again Christians? Why is that dangerous, Ford? Okay. Very good. Yes. Yep. Right. When I read that, that's exactly what I thought, Jamie. Now, anyone who comes, it's ever heard me talk about on any subject for very long, you'll find out pretty quick, and I don't mean to offend anyone in here. If this offends you, come talk to me later. I'd love to talk to you about it. I am not a fan of Joel Osteen, right? I am just not a fan of his ministry. I don't know if we can really call it ministry. I am just not a fan of what he does. But I know so many people that they say that is their church, and that is where they get all of their biblical information from. And it comes back to exactly what Jamie is saying. I can listen to this guy for, I don't know, 10 minutes, and I can almost guarantee he will say something that I know is not biblical. I mean, that quick. But the fact that I know it's not biblical is I do my best to spend time in God's Word. But you take people who don't spend time in God's Word, and he goes out there and he basically gives them the prosperity gospel. That's what he's really preaching to people. And he tells them these things. Well, they listen and they believe it. And they think that they're going to heaven because of these things they're believing. Unfortunately, I'm a firm believer that Joel Osteen has put a lot of people on the fast track to hell, because they think this is the gospel and it's not the gospel. And so, yes, that's exactly what I thought when I was thinking about that question. I was like, if you don't know what the truth is, I almost held this up as the Bible. That's not the Bible. Because this guy is not the Bible. But if you don't know what the truth is in this, then you will fall for anything. Very good.
But they can use the Bible and misuse it.
They sure can.
A preacher
yeah, absolutely. Yes, great point. And so that's why when I do, and we're not doing it tonight, so I'm kind of going to contradict myself, is we are just reading Scripture out of context. But anytime that I do a Bible study or you do a Bible study, it is very important to understand the context of what's going on when you read it, right? So when they talk about, you know, realtors try to sell you a house or something, it's all about what? Location, location. You hear that all the time. And so I say the same thing. When it's time for you to sit down and do a Bible study or hear someone speaking, you know, it's all about context, context, context. Because you can take stuff out of context and be like, oh man, yeah, that seems right. But when you see it in the whole theme of the Bible or in the whole theme of that book or maybe even the whole theme of that chapter, you realize pretty quick that's not the message that we're trying to send here. Right? And so, yes, if you don't understand your Bible, people can rip stuff out of context and they can tell you. If you mash, and if I was a really good leader, I could tell you this. If you mash up two different psalms together, you can basically say, well, the Bible says there is no God. Well, what that psalm is saying is like, sometimes I feel like there is no God because I'm so upset. The Bible isn't saying there is no God. It's just David saying, I'm so upset I feel that way at times, right? When he was really upset. And so you have to mash two psalms together. But if you don't ever read your psalms, you're like, okay, the Bible says there's no God. So it's a great point, Miss Carolyn. What else? What are other some of the dangers of not reading God's Word? Okay. And why is discernment so important, Irvin? Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Steve, if you'll jump, and I'm just going to contradict myself here because we are going to I'm just going to pull something out of context here. Let's see here. Matthew 19:4 is good enough. There's a couple ones that do the same thing. And so many times when we read our Bible, it's really interesting when you look at the text. So many times Christ is just assuming you're going to do this. And so this is Christ speaking, right? And so realize anytime you see Christ talking about the Bible, he is just making the assumption that everyone who believes in God is reading their Bible. For them that would have been reading the Scriptures, right? So Christ says this, he answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And so that's kind of that, I'm kind of contradicting myself here because it is kind of context. But what he's saying there, he's like, have you not read? That is based on the assumption Christ is assuming everyone who believes in God and professes Christ is reading their Bible. So it would make no sense to Christ to be a Christian and not read your Bible, right? And so some people may say, well, I don't think that, you know, I don't know if it says in my Bible I'm supposed to read this. And I was like, that's just wrong. That is just a flat out lie. Christ in multiple places, I can give you other, you know, if you want to look them up at home, Steve, you don't have to do this. You know, Mark 12:10, he talks about that. You just see that Christ is just working under the assumption you're reading your Bible. So that's why Christ doesn't really beat you over that. Look, Steve did it anyway. Not that Christ is trying to beat you over the head and say you got to read your Bible.
he's just working under the assumption that you want to and you will be reading your Bible. All right, so that's just something I want to point out. And then this one is, I know we got a lot of Bible drillers in here, can probably read this off the top of their head, is 2 Timothy 3:16. And this really gets to the root of why we spend time reading our Bible. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." So that right there, we could probably wrap up all this tonight and you guys could go home early. That right there should really be enough. And I mean, that's kind of a joke, but seriously, that set of scripture really should be enough for you to be like, yeah, man, I'm going to increase my Bible intake. Right? And so, you know, not only is this to encourage and increase our knowledge about spiritual disciplines, this is also meant to encourage you to be more disciplined in these areas. And so hopefully after tonight, and then when Brother Justin comes back and he does the next version of this, hopefully this will encourage all of us to read our Bible more. But let's look at this set of scripture for a second. All scripture is breathed out by God. Real quick, what does that mean? Ford, you look up every time, and I want to call on you every time you look up, and I'm not going to pick on you all night. Steve, what's that mean? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So who wrote the simple question? Who wrote the Bible? Inspired men of God. God that were inspired by the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. So that's what that means. All scripture is breathed out by God through the Holy Spirit and profitable for teaching. Why is it profitable for teaching? We've already beat that. We've discussed that. How about for reproof? We've talked about that a little bit. Let's spend a little bit more time on that. Because this is the part of scripture that a lot of people don't really want to talk about. They love the positive Jesus and everything's going good. But a lot of times we don't want to talk about the sin and the reproof part. What's reproof mean? What does that word even mean? Now I want to look up. Now that I got on board, now I want to look up now. Okay, very good. It's conviction. It's probably a really good way to say that. All right. Why is that good for you as a Christian? Why is that good? Miss Carolyn, I love it, Miss Carolyn. Yes, because we're all sinful creatures and we need it. If left up to your own devices, and I bet everyone in here has this testimony, if left up to your own devices, where do you end up, Melissa? In fact, there you go. Even more hardcore. Yes, and I would agree with that. If left up to your own devices, unfortunately, you will choose sin. A lot of times you will choose sin. And that's unfortunate, and that is a frustration that I will probably never root out of my life completely, is why does my flesh crave sin? But the fact is that it does. I feel the draw toward that. I really do feel it. And so one of the things that helps me drastically in that is spending time in the Word. That helps. You know, I speak for me and no one else in here. I'm telling you, an hour Sunday morning is not enough to help me with that reproof. Now, that's just me. Maybe you guys, that's plenty for you. Maybe you're like, that's too much. I don't know. But for me, that hour is not enough. And so where else do I get that? I get it from my daily Bible reading. Right? I get it from devotionals. All right? For reproof and for correction. Anybody in here ever needed to be corrected? Let me help you. The answer to that is yes, absolutely. Everyone needs to be corrected. And for training in righteousness. What do you think that means? Training in righteousness. Yeah.
And a lot of them, you know, they're 99%.
There's some positive things said. I agree.
But that 1%,
yep.
I came home and had to be retrained.
Yep.
You know, you can try, but until you're trained, it's not working.
Yep. Very good.
So in the righteousness, that's, the moral God.
Absolutely. And that's, and you answered the first question, you answered it correctly, is that what is the purpose of spiritual discipline is to increase godliness in your life. That's the purpose of this, right? And so you want to be, more training in righteousness, okay? So if anything that you remember anything tonight is 2 Timothy 3:16 is your take-home message for biblical intake, that really should be enough. Of course, I'm not going to quit talking, but that should be enough for you, all right? So, yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things he makes a point in here, I don't think I'm going to get to it tonight because you guys know me, is that he says reading your Bible before you go to bed is useful. But he is very encouraging to read it at some point during the day for exactly what Martha is discussing. You know, his point is like, he says, honestly, most of us don't do a lot of sinning in our sleep. And I don't know about you all, but a lot of times late at night when I'm tired from working and have been ripping and running with kids and doing all this other stuff, man, when I read my Bible at night, it makes me sleepy. Reading anything at night makes me sleepy, not just my Bible. And so then you fall asleep. But then if you take what Martha said, which I agree 100% with, if you read that at some point during the day, it is going to help you at some point that day. Right? It's going to help, like Martha said, get you back to center. It is going to help you that day. And so he's not saying don't read it at night, but he's saying also try to work it in at some point during your day so you can then take those principles and apply it to your day. Now, I wish I could tell you that every time you read your Bible, you're going to feel the Holy Spirit move you and you're going to have this light shine down on you. That hasn't been my experience. Maybe it's your experience. Amen to you. You're blessed if that is the case. But I will say this. It does for me what Martha said. It does help me during that day. And it is rare that something I read in my Bible in the morning when I get to work, that can't be applied to something that happens to me that day. It's super rare. Now, it does happen at times. You know, sometimes you may be reading something out of, you know, sometimes my plan says read Revelation, and I'm like, man, Revelation, here we go. That's the Bible. That's probably the book of the Bible that I'm least excited about reading. That's just my opinion. And I was like, maybe not with Revelation, but usually whatever I read is applicable that day to something that I encourage or encounter, not encourage, but encounter. Okay. It's tough. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And so the whole time. Yes. Hey, like I said, I can't guarantee you every time, but a lot of the times you can. And so that's why I'm a huge fan of Old Testament and New Testament, you know, mixing it up in there. And if nothing else, I would say the simplest thing that I encourage a lot of people to do is read a proverb every day. Now, that's not enough, but that's a good place to start for people. It's a good place to start because there's as many proverbs as there are days in the month, except, you know, I'm not going to go through the whole the calendar song, but there's enough psalms or proverbs every day. And proverbs are very useful and applicable, and it's God wisdom. So, okay, so Psalms are thrown in there. Okay, yes, right, absolutely. What were you going to say, Doug? Yes. That's exactly what we're talking about next, Doug. Yes. Yep. So I have 7 minutes, and I want to give you, I want to give you three practical tips that is mentioned in this book, and then we'll let Justin take off from there, right? I didn't make it hardly anywhere. The first is exactly what Doug, you couldn't have done a better segue if I gave you a piece of paper to say this, is that the first way you practically do this, right? We can talk theory all night. And it's so easy to talk about, oh yeah, I'm going to read my Bible 16 hours a day and we're going to do all this. Well, the reality is very different a lot of times. And so I like to talk about Christianity where the rubber meets the road. Practically, how are we going to do this? The first way that you increase your biblical intake is what Doug said, is you find the time. It's just that simple. You have to find the time. If you had to guess, this blew me away. Just think in your head, because we're not going to yell out numbers, because that's going to get boring for everyone. They timed this. If you were able to read the Bible straight through, and obviously you're probably going to have to stop to take drinks of water or something like that. How many hours do you think it would take you to read the Bible straight through? Just think in your head. I'll give you a few seconds to think about it. How many hours to read the Bible, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, 39 old, 27 new, read straight through. How many hours would it take you? We all got an idea in our head. It's 71 hours. 71 hours to read the Bible straight through. Right? Yeah, well, different. Your mileage may vary, right? Depending on how fast you read. But the whole point of that is to make you know this. It's not impossible to read your entire Bible. Someone can do it. I mean, on the average, I'm sure they just did the stats on this. 71 hours. All right? So let me read this for you. This is mine. Melissa will tell you this. TV sucks me in. I can be sucked into a TV show in 30 seconds. And it can be something I don't even care. It can be, it can be a soap opera. And I think that stuff is just crazy. And I'd be like, hold on, let's let me see what they do. Hold on, let's let me see. Just let me see. Just let me see. Right? And next thing you know, it's 30 minutes. So I promise you, no one in here is worse than me at this. Maybe Molly. Molly and I are both bad about it. But this is what they said right here. It's so, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. If that sounds crazy to you, right? How much TV time do you think the average person does a day?
6 hours.
If the average person would exchange the amount of time they watch every day of TV for reading their Bible, they'd have the entire Bible read in 4 weeks. The entire Bible, from front cover to back cover. If you simply turned your TV off, on average, just to the average American, for me, probably a lot faster, but for the average American, 4 weeks you could have your entire Bible read. Right? And so our reading plan, is it a year, Steve, the reading plan? I'm not doing that reading plan. 2 years? Okay, so it's 2 years. So you see, that is a very slow process. You know, you could really, if you wanted to, you know, buckle down and really get focused on this, you could do it in 4 weeks. Not to kick anyone in the gut, to make anyone feel bad. I'm confident most of you guys are probably doing daily Bible reading. I get this as preaching to the choir. But you have the time. The time exists in your schedule right now to read your Bible. It does exist. It's just what's a priority to you. Okay? It's just what it is. All right? So, we move on. Oh, hold on. I hope Justin doesn't mind, because I'm marking his book. I hope he doesn't mind. If he does, it's also in pen. So, how about a Bible reading plan? How important, and this is a practical thing, and this is this guy's opinion, and I would agree with this. It's very important to have a Bible reading plan. Why is that important, Steve? Yes. Okay. Yes. Absolutely. Okay. I would agree with both of those. I think, A, it's accountability, but you also have to be careful. It also can't become an idol in your life, right? It can't be like, I'm going to get through these books. And, you know, Martha kind of alluded to this earlier. I really like what Brother Tim is doing, even though I'm not following the same plan that most of you guys are following. It is good because you then can come together as a group and you can discuss, you know? I mean, if I was really good at doing this, Martha, I would have asked, like, anybody got any questions about Leviticus? But I didn't read the same thing that you guys have been reading, so I wouldn't be able to answer that question, right? So, and that is very good, is you can get a group of people doing this together. That's also accountability built into it, all right? Very good. It is. That's your favorites, okay? Yep, I love James. Right. Yes, very good. And we know, even though, like we said today, and Martha, I appreciate your transparency. You're like, well, man, I didn't really get something today that I could apply to my life. The fact is that you're doing it makes God happy that you are reading His Word. Even if you don't really get inspired by one set of Scripture, that's okay. You still should be reading God's Word. All right, and so the final practical point that he makes is that, and I do remember this, I totally remember, the more I read this, the more I'm like, oh yeah, I definitely have read this book, is that to find a phrase or a concept to meditate on as you read, right? And so I have to be careful with this for myself, because when I hear the word meditate, I always think of like Eastern cultures, like lighting incense, getting into poses that there's no way my legs will bend that way, and having a gong in the background. Just, that's not what biblical meditation looks like. And there's a whole chapter about, you know, meditating on God's Word. And Justin will get to that and probably I'm sure he'll do a great job discussing that. But what he suggests is that, like what Steve was saying, it's easy to get into a rut with Bible reading also. Oh, I'm going to get my 30 minutes in today, and you just blow through it and you don't let it soak in. And so what his suggestion is with the meditation is that as you read, think about something. Think about a characteristic of God. Think about how God is holy. And as you read this set of Scripture, how does God's holiness revealed in this set of Scripture? Or think about what Christ has done for you. Or think about what atonement means. Or think about what righteousness means. There's a million ways you can do this. But that is one of his big suggestions. And I can remember when we went through this, I started doing that. And he's right. It definitely helps. It definitely helps to think deeper as you read. All right? And so those are just three practical ways. Okay, it's 8 o'clock. I was surprised I even got that far. Okay, and so I wanted to leave you with this. He tells a story in here, and I'm going to read something for you at the very end. He tells a story of a young man who encountered a bomb. And in that bomb, he had very bad burns to his face, disfigured face, and he had just became a new Christian. And he was on fire for reading his Bible. He loved it. He wanted to do more of it. And when in this case, he lost, not only did his face become disfigured, he lost his hands. And so he couldn't even use Braille. So he was having something read to him once, and he heard about a lady, I believe it was in England or London someplace, to where she used her lips to read her Bible with her lips and read the Braille. So he ordered a couple Braille Bibles, and they show up, and he finds out his lips are so damaged, the nerves are so damaged, he can't feel through his lips. But he notices that while he's trying that, his tongue touches it, and he can feel it. And so by the printing of this book, and I could probably look it up and tell you, by the printing of this book, this gentleman has read his Bible 4 times simply by using his tongue. So I am very confident for myself, that's convicting to me, I am very confident for myself that if this gentleman, through those hardships, can read his Bible that many times simply by using his tongue, I can for sure find some time every day to read it with my eyes. Right? And that's not to make anyone feel guilty. This is just to encourage us. All right? And so I wanted to read this last thing, and then we'll be done. I promise. So go on reading it, that the it being the Bible, until you can read it no longer, and then you will not need the Bible anymore. Because when your eyes close for the last time in death, and never again read the Word of God in Scripture, you will open them to the Word of God in the flesh. That same Jesus of the Bible, whom you have known for so long, standing before you to take you forever to his eternal home. And so that is simply says you should be reading your Bible your entire life. That last breath you draw, you should finish reading your Bible that time. And when you come back to, you should be standing in front of Christ, the Word made flesh. So it's just something to think about. I know I am 100% confident there's not a person here tonight that didn't know reading your Bible was important. But hopefully through this, through our conversations, you guys did a great job of being transparent and discussing this. Hopefully through this, we can encourage ourselves, encourage one another to increase that Bible intake. And if you're not doing it, start. It's very profitable. It's very profitable to do that. All right? Anything else anybody wants to put on for closing? Put a little bow on it. No bows? You got a bow? You want to put a bow on it, Ford?
I
Yeah.
And when we're daily reading our Bible, that's what we're always reminded we're in the neighborhood of sin.
Right.
We're right there in the neighborhood. So we did that pretty wild out.
Yeah.
The Lord can put things back together.
Very good. Yeah, and so I'll close in prayer and just, you know, I'm going to pray for you and for myself. Find the time. I'm telling you right now, you have it. You have the time. We all make time for what we care about. Now, I don't know about you all. If I miss a meal, I eat twice as much the next time usually. Now, that's just me. That's why my pants are tight a lot, okay? I would encourage you to be the same way with your Bible. If for some reason you miss some Bible time, why not double down next time? Double down. Your Bible reading should be as important to you as eating. It should be. And as a Christian, it shouldn't be a burden. You should want it to be this way. All right? I'll close in prayer. We'll get out of here. Dear God, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I try to always say this to myself. And Lord, I want to say it tonight orally. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the inspiration of men through the Holy Spirit to write this. Not only for the people at the time these books of the Bible were written, but also for us in 2018. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the miraculous fact that, you know, your word is profitable. It's good for reproof. It's good for correction. And Lord, it is a wonderful addition to our lives to let us get to know you and your characteristics more and more. And through that, we will understand how worthy of worship you are, which will increase our, you know, worship of you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right.